Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Saquon Barkley joins us now. Thank you, Saquon. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. So we were just talking about, we have this item for the Eagles Radiothon to benefit the Eagles Autism Foundation to play golf with you and Kelsey at Trout National Golf Club. It's over $30,000 right now, just to let you know, to play golf with
you
guys.
How about that?
Yeah, pretty crazy. What is it? You seem to love golf. Lots of professional athletes seem to love golf. What is it about golf that becomes like an obsession?
I think one, it depends when you ask me. If you ask me after my last round, I kind of hate golf. when things are going right, I'm in love with it. I think the reason why we get obsessed with it is just the challenge it brings. You're literally trying to hit a ball that's not moving, and some days it works, some days it doesn't. But I love it just for how it helps me mentally, too. Just when you're on a golf course, you're kind of away, you're not focusing on anything else. Kind of like let your mind decompress. So just the love of the game, the challenge of the game, and just the mental part of it is really helpful for me.
Dream foursome? You could play golf any other three people. Who would the three people be?
Tiger.
Ooh.
I gotta go Tiger. Charles Barkley. I think, you know, I've heard that he wanted to get out with me, so I want to make that happen. So I'm gonna go Tiger, Charles, and Michael Jordan. I think those would be that would be a fun competitive day.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Competitive more of like talking crap, not like on a golf course because I'm not any good right now.
Yeah. So I was gonna say, yeah. How long have you been playing? What's your game looking like?
The game right now is bad. We're struggling off the tee. We're struggling off the tee really bad. Short game, we have a saying in my friend group, you can't teach hands and you can't teach heart, and I got both.
There you go.
My short game is good. I got down to 10, back up to 11-8 right now. So we're trending down right now.
What do you mean? As in a handicap, 10 and 11?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Saquon.
Oh, dude, you're pretty damn good. Yeah. I love to have that. And I've been playing for like 25 years and don't seem like it's helping me at all. So, yeah, you're doing pretty good.
I put a little too much work in it. I should definitely be a little lower than a 10 how much golf videos I watch. It's my family, it's football, and then it's golf. Those are the three important things in my life right now.
Saquon Barkley with us. Your second year in Philadelphia, you get here last year, and there's sort of a new guy thing, right? Because a lot of the players had been on the team previously. This second year, having the year here under your belt, do you feel like you assume more of a leadership role within the team now that you're sort of cemented as an Eagle?
Yeah, definitely. I think I asserted myself in a leadership role last year, just coming in with the mindset of, you know, buying into the culture that was established before I was here, and taking what I've known over the past prior 6 years up to that point, be able to have a name and going against a lot of these guys, so I had something to respect. But yeah, when you're here for a year, you just become more familiar, with the organization, with everyone in there, and you get to know them even more, and they get to know you even more. So that just helps and go a long way, and I'm excited. For me, it's not about whether I'm a captain or, you know, if people say I'm a leader, it's about how I come to work every single day and the mindset that I have and, you know, wanting to be accountable, wanting to be detailed, wanting to be tough, and the most important thing, in my opinion, bringing the team together and making sure we go out there and perform as a unit.
Now, I know we've moved on from last year for the most part, but me as a fan of the team, of the sport, and of yours, it's hard for me to move completely past last year, especially since we got you on the phone with us. What an outstanding year you had last year, man. A historical year that certainly could have become a record-breaking year. So I'm going to throw this out there to you, Saquon, because I was one of the guys beating the drum for you to play in the last game and the O-line to play in the last game for the record. I'm just wondering, off-season, is there any time that you ever thought about, like, holding that record. I know you got the overall record for yards when you include the postseason, but that record of Eric Dickerson's, how bad did you really want to break that record?
Yeah, I kind of messed around with that, right? My feelings, you know, kind of were all over the place. At first, I genuinely didn't care for the record. But at the same time, like you just said, you know, with the offensive line, I saw how much, you know, rushed for 2,000 yards and how much that record meant to them and how much the record meant to my father. So, yes, obviously, you know, I would love to have went out there and try to break the record, but that's not what, you know, that's not why I play the game. Mm-hmm. You play this game to win championships, and we accomplished that last year. I felt like sitting out that last game gave us the momentum that we needed with our body and our health to go into the playoffs and make a run. And that was the most important thing. And it turned out perfect. You know what I mean? We ended up doing what we needed to do. And you know, it would have been cool, but why not? You know, why not? There might be another opportunity, whether it's, you know, this year, the years coming up. And if it's not, you know, it is what it is. There's only eight other people to accomplish, that, you know, that milestone of 2,000 yards. And, you know, it's a fraternity. I put myself apart, that, you know, it that's enough too for me. And just doing that with the guys up front meant a lot also.
Nothing wrong with that too, KC. Now, how much have you thought about or do you pay attention to the outside noise of he carried the ball as much as he did last year? Guys coming off of great seasons like that seem to take a step back or what have you. You know, I brought up to the fellas, like, listen, sometimes there are rare exceptional athletes that buck the trends or things of that nature. I think you're in that category. Not that I expect you to rush for 2,000 yards again this season, but – having a great season and going out and accomplishing some of those individual goals that I'm sure you put out there for yourself. Do you ever worry about being overused coming into the season, or is it just business as usual for you?
Yeah, you know, that narrative is kind of annoying. I've seen it. I think I play the only position in the NFL or in any sports that you're supposed to have a bad year because you had a good year the year prior, mm-hmm. which to me, that just doesn't, you know, that doesn't make sense. I come under the belief of why not build off of that year? And a successful year and a great year, you know, as an individual, doesn't always need to be a 2,000-yard season. And that's the mindset that we're taking on, you know, as a team also. Like, obviously, we won the Super Bowl a year prior, but it doesn't – it might not look the same, and it doesn't have to look the same. The only thing that matters is going out there and winning a football game and putting ourselves in a position to do it again. And I'm taking that same mindset as an individual with my goals. It's not 2,000 yards. It's not break Eric Dickerson's record. That wasn't even my goal last year. It's to go out there and be healthy and perform at a high level and, you know, make plays for my team and lead. So for me, that narrative just doesn't make any sense. But I believe that, you know, God got a plan for us all. And my goal is to go out there and push myself to the limit, work hard, put myself in position to go out there and perform at a high level, and let him take care of the rest.
Saquon, when you were playing in New York, I was working in New York as well. How is it different playing just in everything? What is it different playing in Philadelphia than playing in New York? What are the differences for you?
Yeah, you know, I've been blessed and fortunate enough to play in for probably, you know, two of the biggest markets and sports markets in the, you know, in America. And it's been super fun for both here. You know, I love to choose my words wisely, and the best way I can describe our fan base is the most passionate fan base, in all the sports. And they're going to let you know, when you're doing good, and they're going to let you know when you're doing bad. You know, I don't know anywhere else you can go. I can go to the mall. I can go grocery shopping or anywhere outside, and you know, some people won't even come up and say, "How you doing, Mr. Barkley?" They're just going to look at you and say, "Go Birds," and just keep it moving. It's fun. It kind of gives me the sense of college. And when you play for a big college program, you know, as I did with Penn State, and you get to NFL, you know, a lot of places aren't like that. A lot of places don't have that fan base. A lot of places don't have that electricity in the stadium. And, you know, you search for that, and I didn't have to search far. It was right down the corner here in Lincoln Financial Field.
So coming into last season, the Eagles had this big thing to prove because of how they collapsed the year before, which you were not here for. You came into last season sort of, you know, with an up and down run with the Giants, and you played like, at least to my eyes, like you had something to prove. How do you go into this season with, you know, everyone had that in front of them to motivate them last year? How does everyone do that again this year? Like with that same sort of level of intensity and motivation after you've already conquered it?
Yes. You know, they say climbing the mountain's hard, but staying at the mountaintop is even harder. And the way that we do that, we know the recipe. We know what it takes. Like I said before, obviously it's going to look different, but you've got to go out there and just continue to love the game, continue to play with passion, and continue to do whatever it takes to win football games. I think we have the group of guys to do that. We just got to continue to prove it to ourselves. It doesn't matter when anybody else fails on the outside. You know, even though we appreciate all the fans, we appreciate all you guys, but to be completely honest, what anyone says on TV or what anybody says in the stadium is not going to dictate if we win or lose football games. It's the way we, you know, hold ourselves accountable in this building. And that's the goal that we're going to continue to have, is to do it together and to be smart, be detailed, you know, all those things we have, and just go out there and perform at a high level.
Saquon, do you have any message for the youth football players in high school and middle school who are going to try this season to jump backwards over their opponents?
My advice would be, if you're going to do it, don't do it backwards. I got lucky. It was a cool moment. But hey, the beauty of that play and where it comes to, you know, little kids and fans that watch, it's able to show my creativity as a football player. So if anything, I hope it urges players to go out there and be creative and, you know, don't think you can't do anything on the football field. And that's how I try to play. But yes, I would advise to be smart. Jumping over someone's not as hard as it looks. I always tell them, if when I break it down and you watch film, and you know the guys who are going to go low. The one I did, I got lucky on, was a little harder than most. But I would challenge them to continue to be creative, continue to, you know, don't let anybody ever tell you can't do nothing. And that's not only with football, that's outside of football too.
You can be honest. How many times have you watched it?
Too much. to be honest, I'm over it. That's why I can't wait for the season to start.
Do you do another one?
No, not to do another one. I think that's the last time I will be jumping over anyone backwards. I can't promise that because this is a reaction, but I don't plan to do that whatsoever. Actually, I remember I was training with my little brother, and we had like these boxes, and I was jumping over my kids, and I did the same kind of jump over my kids just for fun, and I was like, okay, that's the last time I'm ever going to do it. But I'm excited for the season to create new memories, to create new moments. Whether it's an individual, whether it's a team, and what we did in 24 was so special, and I had a lot of special moments myself. But that's the beauty of football. It doesn't really matter what happened the year before. It's what have you done for me lately, and we get to show that this year.
Well, that's pretty cool. The kids got to experience Dad jumping over them that way. So that's pretty cool.
I gotta find that video and get it to you guys.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know if Nick and Howie's gonna be happy that way.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be thrilled. Yeah.
I might have to ask you one taboo question here. Well, it could be taboo, but it seems like you have the right mindset, so none of this stuff seems to, I guess, attach itself to someone with your mindset. The whole Madden cover, right? First of all, how special is it for you and your family that you're donning the Madden cover? Is that pretty cool for you?
It's super cool. Even to this moment, you know, sometimes I'll go downstairs and I'll turn the game on, and it's the reason why it's so cool, because it's something that I dreamed about as a little kid. You know, if you're a football player growing up, you want to be on a Madden cover. You want to have that moment, and for it to come to life, it feels surreal. So I'm just happy that, you know, that happened. Obviously, I know I couldn't do that without, you know, the Eagles organization and the season we had and my teammates. But for me to have that moment, it's one of the, outside of winning the Super Bowl, it's one of the coolest things that happened in my career so far.
Saquon, thank you so much for your time. Before we let you go, one more thing I wanted to mention to you. We work with a guy named Elliot Shore Parks. He's the guy who keeps the training camp stats. Little blonde guy. You know him, right?
Yeah.
So he told us a story once last year that you were, I guess, maybe you had French cuffs or something, but you had a button.
He had a problem putting his cufflink in.
Putting your cufflink in, and you asked him to help, and he got sweaty, and he failed, and he did a really bad job. And first, we just want to apologize for that. But second, do you remember that? And do you remember his failure?
I do remember that. That is a true story. I think the moment got too big for him in that scenario. But I do remember that.
The moment got too big.
Put that on a tombstone.
Yeah, dude. You just gave us the quote for a lifetime.
Appreciate it.
Well, let me tell you something, man. You gave us a season for a lifetime, and we're so proud to have you as an Eagle, not just last year, but the fact that we get to watch you again. And we thank you so much for your time, for what you're doing for the Eagles Autism Foundation, that the golf, and what you've done for us, for fans, and what you will continue to do. Thank you so much, Saquon, for your time, and best of luck this year.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, guys. Yep.
There he is, Saquon Barkley. That is the quote of the century. Joining us right now, as promised, Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert. Dallas, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. How are we doing today?
What's up, Dallas?
We're doing good, man. So you have this Escape the Room item with you and Grant Calcaterra. It's at $3,000 right now. It's an escape room thing at the NovaCare Complex. All right, Ryan from Eagles Autism Foundation said that you enjoy the escape room thing. Is that the case?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I've done escape rooms with my family around the city and things like that, and I've actually done the escape room here a couple. They bring different ones, so I won't have a heads up, but it's a lot of fun, you know, just thinking of different puzzles, thinking of different ways to try to get out of the room, and me and some of the fans, it's always been a lot of fun.
Can I be honest with you? So I was just telling Ike, I did it once with my wife. I end up being, you know, when you're in school, you have the school project, and there's always one kid that doesn't do anything and then gets the grade at the end. That's how I was in the escape room. It was too hard for me. So I just let everyone else find the clues, and I would go, oh, that's right, you got it. It was too difficult for me.
And then it makes sense once you get it, but dude, I mean, if you just get one clue, that's enough contribution, you know.
Yes,
it doesn't have to be every one of them, but if you get that one, you feel good about yourself, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I definitely use the cheats on it. You know, ask the commentator to lead me in the right direction for sure.
Yeah. It's like you get the first clue. It's sort of like buying the first drink when you go out with everybody. You know you're clear the rest of the night.
You got to get it started.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Dallas, opener a week from today. I would have to guess that you're glad that the opener this year is in Philadelphia and not Brazil.
You know, it's not bad not having to travel. It'll be a lot of fun playing against in the home crowd. You know, get to see the banner drop. I'm sure the crowd is going to be electric. And then, you know, a big division game, a rivalry game is going to be a fun way to start the year.
You know, with the opener, there's the whole banner unveiling of the championship from last year. You ever have like a concern that that all of the pageantry and the celebration of last year can sort of be a distraction from the actual game that you're about to play?
You know, there's always that possibility, but I think the team that we have, you know, the hunger that we have to go do what we did last season again, you know, I think everybody will enjoy it, but we'll be able to flip that switch and know that this season is upon us, and the most important goal is what's right in front of us, not looking back or looking ahead.
I tell you what, Dallas, this is your eighth year with the Eagles. You've gone to two Super Bowls. You're a Super Bowl champion. This offseason, there was a little bit of a time that we didn't know of whether or not you would be an Eagle moving forward. I'm sure there were some questions there for yourself. You guys got everything worked out. You're here on a deal primarily for just this year. I'm wondering, what's your mindset going into this season, your eighth as an Eagle?
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to enjoy it. You know, I'm not too worried about what the future holds or anything. You know, I've had a lot of fun this training camp, this offseason with the guys, and you know, I know that's going to continue throughout the year. So just like any other year, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to help this team win games. And, you know, that's the most important thing, but really looking forward to it.
You talk about doing whatever you can to help the team win games. There's a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of talented players on offense, yourself and Saquon and AJ and Devontae. Like, how do you balance, obviously you want to do what is best for the team. Everybody does. But then everybody's future also depends on how they perform and their numbers and all those sorts of things. How do you balance that in your mind? I'm sure there must be moments where you're like, well, wish I'd gotten the ball there or that, but we won. How do you balance that through the season?
Yeah, for me, it's just taking advantage of my opportunities. Like you said, we got tremendous receivers on the outside, a great running back, a quarterback that can beat you through the air with his legs. So the benefit of playing tight end is you're so involved in the run game that you're blocking, things like that. It's hard to, you know, really not stay in the flow of the game because you're so important in both aspects of it. And you know, I think winning teams, all their players get looked at more than losing teams. So when we're winning, you know, that's all I really care about. Everything else will take care of itself.
So yeah, when you look at yourself, Dallas, you've always had great potential. I don't think anybody's ever questioned your ability and what you could bring to the table. For a lot of your years being here, you are in that top five tight end sort of group with a lot of the other great ones around the league. I'm just wondering, when you're in an offense like this, does it ever become a time where you guys, I mean, where yourself, you're like, man, I know what my capabilities are and whether I'm not getting those opportunities now. Like, how do you manage to stay positive and still keep the right mindset as an Eagle when you know you got so many other players that also have to be fed?
You know, going to a Super Bowl, winning games obviously helps. Having the success that we've had as a team makes it a little bit easier. You definitely look around the league and see other guys and watch their film and say you could do what they're doing. But, you know, I just take it day by day. You know, I'm so happy, so blessed to be able to play in this league, something I always dreamed of. So, you know, I'm not going to let little things, you know, get in the way of the ultimate goal. So it's just one of those things that as you grow, as you evolve, it changes. But, you know, when I got drafted here, I was more of the run blocking tight end. I watched Zach catch all the balls. And, you know, I just knew that I'd try to find my role in whatever it needed to be. And that's what I'll continue to do.
So you had obviously worked with Kevin Petullo before this year as he was the pass game coordinator. But with him as OC, now you've been through a camp with Kevin Petullo. What have you seen him doing differently? And how do you think he's handled the upgrade in responsibility?
Yeah, I think Kev's been doing a great job. You know, through OTAs, you could see him grow throughout training camp, going against a good defensive coordinator with Vic. You know, we had our days, they had their days, but it got us better as a team overall. And, you know, the first test is going to be the opener, how he calls that game and everything. But I got high expectations for the offense, high expectations for KP, and you know, the best part about his job is he's got great players to work with. So, but it's been a lot of fun. The little tweaks in the offense, things that he sees, and, you know, I'm sure we'll continue to grow and develop as the season goes.
We're definitely excited to see those, the little tweaks that he's made. The offense it was a good offense last year. How do you think the offense can be better this year? What's something that you think can do better?
Yeah, obviously, starting from the beginning, you know, there's times where we don't start as fast, and that's going to be always a focus, is starting faster. And then, like you said, we had a good offense last year. We're going to focus on trying to get explosive plays, keep drives alive. And, you know, obviously, we want to score points. That's how you win games, and I think that's what we'll be able to do this year.
All right, Dallas, we appreciate your time. We appreciate all you're doing for the Eagles Autism Foundation. I'm jealous that you're good at the escape room because it made me feel like a big dummy in front of my wife. But we're, and I just want to say, like Ike mentioned, that there was some, you know, concern that you might not be here this year. We're all super glad that you're
there.
Yes,
sir.
You're an awesome player and a real Eagle, and we're rooting for you this year, and best of luck next week.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you, Dallas.
All right, let's give you the answer to what item you can bid on to be with Howie Roseman, part of the Eagles Radiothon. And it is lunch with two-time Super Bowl general manager Howie Roseman and a tour of the NovaCare Complex. So tour of the NovaCare Complex, that's like the little add-on. That's like the dessert. But you get to hang with Howie, obviously what will be a great lunch, and talk to him about the football season and his career and the twists and turns through all these years of Eagles football. So much to talk to Howie about if you bid for that, which currently is at $4,000 at EaglesRadiothon.com. And our chance right now to talk to the two-time Super Bowl winning general manager of the Eagles, Howie Roseman. Howie, good morning to you.
Good morning. You know, Bob Lang, our crack PR guy, just told me that we're at 7,200.
Ooh.
And I think last year we went for 30 grand. I mean, we just won the Super Bowl. We got to get more for EAC going on here. And you know what? Just to get it going a little bit, you know, because I got someone to report to, Ryan Hammond, who is unbelievable energy. She does an unbelievable job for EAC. Yeah. I'm going to add in two tickets here to a home game against Giants or Washington. You know, we're pretty close to Dallas, so I can't do that. So two tickets.
Wow.
There, and if we can get it back to a level consistent with what we had last year, also an opportunity to come to training camp next summer.
Oh, man.
Really, like, I'm competitive here right now. I'm a little disappointed. First of all, I'm disappointed that you gave the wrong number. I mean, fact check.
Yeah,
you
bad know, job by me. Yep.
Fake news right there. And then, you know, we last year we were coming off a playoff loss. We got it at that level. I mean, we're world champs again, you know? Come on. We got to get going here, Philadelphia.
You're not wrong. By the way, Howie, let me say, because it's the first time talking to you since then, congratulations on the world championship. I know to a large extent you guys have turned the page, but we would be absurdly remiss if we didn't say congrats. So, you know.
The only way I'll talk about it is if it gets us more money for EAC.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, we've turned the page.
Fair enough. All right, so 7,200 for this item, which is to lunch with Howie, tour the NovaCare, two tickets to either a Giants or Washington.
No. The two tickets aren't at the $7,200 level. The two tickets have to be and the next year training camp, if we get consistent with what we've had in the past for this item.
He's setting a goal here.
We're not having someone come in at 7,300 this level. You know, that's not right. You know, that won't be right to the people. The four people last year who paid $30,000 apiece.
Wow. All right. Fair enough. So you've put the gauntlet down, and it is understood. Okay. Howie, let's talk some football.
Let's do it.
7 years ago, the team was average-ish for good portions of the regular season after winning the title. It was complicated. Carson, the injury, the whole deal. A lot of other injuries. But were there lessons that you felt the organization learned that you can apply to this year?
Well, the best part, the most exciting part of my job besides the games, and we're a week away from our game next Thursday night. Can't wait for that and home opener against Dallas. But I think that if you're not continuing to learn and get better, you know, and I feel like, man, every day I learn something, I get better. And so if you're not looking at the lessons from 2018, you're really doing a disservice, you know, to this football team, you know, our fans, our ownership, you know, our players. So, you know, for me, there are a lot of lessons to learn. And when you win the first championship in the history of this team, you go, man, I owe that guy. I owe that guy something. And so I kind of changed, you know, a little bit of my philosophy after this year in the off season. And it was, how can we give ourselves a chance, not just this year, but going forward? And that doesn't mean we're not going to put our best foot forward this year to do whatever it takes, but we can also balance that with giving ourselves a chance in this window where we have a ton of core guys that are in the prime of their careers. That's not just this year or bust, and to balance both those things. And it's hard. It's hard to do it, but we're going to continue to try to do that.
How does it feel, Howie, starting the season as the standard that others try to emulate?
You know, I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about that. I think about the standard that we're trying to raise our level to. Internally, we understand that for us to be the best at the end of the year, all of us have to have our best year. You know, that starts with me, Nick, and it really is throughout the organization. And, you know, I think one of the things that is really important to us is that obviously we have great people on the field, but also the great people off the field helping those players, you know, helping the players develop, helping them get better at skill set, helping them make sure that they don't have to worry about a lot of things, you know, off the field, that we're going to support them and help them grow, you know, as athletes and people. And I don't just say that. I really mean that, you know, and I think that that's really our goal, that every day we're doing whatever's possible to be the best we can be. And that where we are today, we're going to continue to grow and hopefully be playing our best football in December and January, you know, like we did last year, which was a great example. Because, John, you know this, it's going to be a situation, we're going to have adversity. We're going to have adversity during the course of this year. You know, something's going to happen over a couple-week period that's not going to look too good. And you know, how are we going to rebound from that? How are we going to rally around that and move forward in a way that lets us play our best at the right time?
Jalen,
I wouldn't mind playing our best week one and keep going the whole season, and
that
not
would
happening.
Be spectacular.
But you know, the odds are that that's probably not going to be the reality.
We're excited about Kevin Petullo and his relationship with Jalen. How well have they meshed as offensive coordinator and quarterback, and how does it compare to last year at this time with Jalen and Kellen Moore, that Super Bowl winning combination?
Well, I'd say you hit it right on the head. Obviously, Kevin and Jalen have known each other really since Kevin's been here and had a relationship, which is really important. You know, I don't want to diminish the job that Kellen did as our offense coordinator, won a world championship with him as our offense coordinator. But Kevin's really been prepared for this. I mean, he is a heck of a coach. He's got great energy. I'm just excited for his opportunity. He's earned it. That's one of the other things I've stopped saying. You know, I used to say deserved it. You know, now I'm saying earn it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. The guy from
Nobody
the paper.
Deserves anything.
Well, you remember, Howie. You're old enough to remember the guy from the paper chase guy used to say that.
Do you know what that's from?
The paper chase guy.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong because someone go look at
yeah, John Houseman or whatever. You earned
it. I think it's from Home Alone. When he's in the house alone and watching that black and white movie.
Oh.
And the guy starts shooting, and yep. he goes, deserves ain't got anything to do with it.
You're right. I was right about that, yeah.
All right, I like
You're
it.
Right.
I like it a lot. Howie, interesting. We found out that you were part of the, along with Nick, the telling to Darius Cooper that he had made the team. Obviously, he was a long shot, and he made it. How special was it for you to be part of that and observe his reaction to being told that he had made the NFL, he had made the Philadelphia Eagles team?
I got breaking news. Bob Lang just gave me an update. Deserves got nothing to do with it. I was using it from Home Alone. It's from Unforgiven, which is one of my favorite movies, too. I just forgot about it. Breaking news. Well, Bob Lang.
So that would be Clint.
And yeah.
And maybe he said it to Bill
Gene
or
Hackman,
Gene Hackman.
Maybe,
Great movie.
He probably said it all awesome.
Anyway, sorry about that.
So Darius Cooper.
He was trying to distract me, but I'm easily distracted, I guess. So I think when you're talking about Monday and Tuesday, you know, you're really starting the season by letting go 37 guys that you bring in here because you like them as players, you like them as people, and then you got to basically tell them bad news. And from my perspective, from Nick's perspective, that's the worst part of the job. And so we were doing this one after another. You know, it gets emotional. You know, it really just it's not a great day for us. And and I turned to Nick and I said, you know, let's give someone good news. You know, for a change. And I know he was waiting for that news, and so we brought him in. And you know, Tarleton State guy who probably had no idea why I was calling him in. I'm not even sure he knew that there was a possibility he was going to get cut by the time I brought him in. And we just asked him, "Hey, you know why you're in here?" And he's like, "Just to talk to you two guys." But you know, just first of all, you know, he's sitting in my office, and you look at him, and sometimes you know, because you see him, you know, he's in pads, you know, you see him at practice, and you just. This guy's lower body, man. I mean, it is so strong and so powerful. And you just look and go, man, what can this guy do if we really develop him and the skill set? And so he's sitting there, and that's what I'm thinking, like a psychopath. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, what this guy can be in 2 years if we develop him. But just seeing how grateful he was about the opportunity in front of him, and that's what it is. You know, again, like nobody's on scholarship here, and we tell our young players that they got to keep earning it throughout the course of the season, that there will be opportunities for us to keep evaluating guys and see if there's a way to get better, because that's really the job here. You know, we got to keep looking for ways to get better. That job doesn't end just because we did cuts, and, you know, we're going to do that. We're going to do that every day. Every night I go to bed thinking about it. Every morning I wake up thinking about it. You know, can we improve?
You must be really proud of that personnel success. I mean, Diamond in the Rough and Darius Cooper. Howie, a lot of people
He's got to go play well in real games now.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Nothing has been proven yet.
Many are worried about the, you know, risk reward of putting Cooper DeJean back to return punts. Could you talk about that decision making process, the risk and reward to figuring out the best man to sit back there?
Yeah, I mean, we've had this before in Philadelphia when Deshaun was here, you know, and I think that We'll just kind of see what happens here when we open up next week. When you talk about Coop, you know, I say this, and now I'm biased. You know, I'm biased to all our guys because I love our guys, but I think he may be one of the top three punt returners in the history of college football. Jeez. And then you saw what he could do. Yeah, I know. Power statement. But then you saw what he could do last year in that role. I mean, you know what a difference he can make in that. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, we have other guys too, you know, who can do that, and we think can do it at a high level. And so, you know, we'll just keep everyone guessing here. We don't want to give any advantage to the team that's coming into play next week.
Yeah, it makes sense. Nick is certainly of that mindset as well. All right, Howie, a couple final things here. Howie Roseman, Joe and Hugh coming up in about 5 minutes. Howie, you're 50 years old. There are times in people's lives where sometimes...
Whoa. Why?
we're going to talk about Theo Epstein. Mm-hmm. There are times in people's lives they've accomplished a lot and they're interested in a new challenge. Do you think about that at times, or do you think you're going to hitch your wagon and continue to do this as you could with your age for another 15 to 20 years?
Theo's my friend. He's my buddy. What a great guy. And you know what? Here's a little secret. His sons love the Eagles. But I would say this. Unfortunately for all of you guys, I love what I do more today than I did yesterday. I have a tremendous passion for it. I think I'm more competitive than I've ever been. So, you know, obviously, that's not my decision whether I stay here or not. But I will tell you, I can't imagine doing anything other than trying to build football teams and doing it with people I care about. You know, so that's not even close to my thought process. Again, we haven't lost a game, so maybe catch me on a Monday.
No, that's music to a lot of people's ears. Nick, I've got two complaints about the Super Bowl. Excuse me, Howie, I got two complaints about the Super Bowl victories. Mm-hmm. And it's only in Philadelphia because you have complaints about a Super Bowl victory. But I'm going to give you both Super Bowls. Number one, the head coach should be lifted up and carried to midfield. So if you guys win it again, please tell the big lineman to carry Nick to midfield. Doug should have had that honor. Nick should have.
I have the vision when I was a kid of watching the Bears lift up Mike Ditka.
Correct. So, okay.
And Parcells.
That was awesome.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think the last guy was Holmgren in 96, I think, and it's a great tradition that should still be going on. Number two.
I think Coach Reed helped with Holmgren.
Yeah. All right, number two. And Howie, this ties directly into you. And I've been complaining about this for 8 years. The general manager should be interviewed as part of the on-field ceremony after you win the Super Bowl. And if you guys do it again this upcoming season, I hope for the first time in your career you get that honor. To go from owner to coach to MVP is great, but it's not enough. GM should be in there. You built the team. You should get that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Unfortunately for me, they decided instead to have me speak at the Rocky Steps at the art museum, and you know, I'll forever have a hole in my head with all the pictures from that moment. So, you know, my request the next time would be, let's not throw beers at our players and staff. Please, let's drink them. Drink them, a lot of them. But please don't throw them at
good
me.
Stuff. Hey, Howie.
I appreciate you guys.
For sure. Reminder to everyone listening, $7,200 for Howie, the bid right now to have lunch with him and a tour of the NovaCare Complex and possibly tickets to the Giants and Washington, one of those games. Howie, stay well. Good luck in the upcoming season. Howie, good luck to you.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, there he is, Howie Roseman.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for the time, Jalen.
Yes, sir.
So the item you have for Eagles Radiothon is centered around your book, Better Than a Touchdown, the children's book. So someone can bring their child and five of their friends for a private reading of the book with you and then a tour of the NovaCare facility. Why a children's book? Why did you decide to write a children's book?
Well, it's always been a dream of mine under the influence that it's had on me. And so I just felt like it was my season to pay for it.
I was talking to Jack earlier about the children's books, and I remembered a couple of mine that I remember even to this day growing up. Like, I loved Goodnight Moon. I loved The Phantom Tollbooth. Was there a book that you were a kid that you look back and you remember as one of your favorites?
There's a book specifically written by Tiki Barber and his brother.
Yes.
And I remember going to the library in elementary school and really gravitating towards that, and it's something I've held with me for a very long time. And so, obviously, you know, to be able to fulfill dreams and set goals and fulfill those goals, simple inspiration from a children's book like that was a lot for me. So you never know what seed you can plant for someone else through a children's book. So I figured, why not pay it forward in that way?
Yeah, you know what's funny? There's, in my neighborhood, there's a little box where people can drop off books or take books. And I saw that book in there. And I used to work with Tiki, so I took a picture of it and I sent it to him. And he was thrilled. He still remembers that book to this day. I'm sure he'd be thrilled to know that you loved that book when you were a kid.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Can we talk about a little football here?
Yeah, sure.
Thing. All right. So, you know, not major injuries, but AJ has been suffering with a hamstring, and Devontae, and then Landon has had his thing. And there probably weren't a ton of whole first team reps with everyone. How do you feel going into the first game with the sort of limited time you've been able to play with those guys?
You continue to take it a day at a time. You know, I think given the quality reps that we have had and everyone that's been available, I think we've been getting better and taking steps daily. And so it's been a constant comfort that's been built with everyone. And so, you know, when you have a established foundation with the core that's here, you want to build on those things, and that's what we have this time now. So number one thing has been being confident in everyone as they step out on the field, and then continue to build and polish up some of those things before we get in some live action.
Mm-hmm. What's the off-season work relationship been like for you and new OC? Although he's been on the staff for a few years, so he's not new to sort of working with you in the office, but he's working directly with you. What's that been like for yourself and Kevin, sort of merging, I guess, your minds into what the offense should look like this year?
Yeah, I think it's gone relatively well. You know, Coach has come in and he's been here and he's been able to have a unique perspective on what we've done offensively and how we've been able to evolve and how different players have matured. And so even for him, throughout my maturation, he's seen those things up close for Smitty, for Landon and Dallas, and, you know, Dallas was established before then. But seeing guys grow and evolve over time, and I think he has a unique perspective on that, and been able to see the cadence and the flow of how we've done things over the past, and he's had a big input on that as well. And so, you know, he's able to kind of make his own way, and I see a lot of confidence in him in that. You know, he's come in very convicted in what he sees, and has a real plan of what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and you know, it's our job to go out there and bring it to light. And continue to have those conversations, and, you know, me communicate with him so we can continue to go out there and play winning football.
I was gonna say, man, you're going into what, your sixth year now, right? This is the sixth season, I believe, for you. You're going into your sixth year, and at that quarterback position, I would imagine the more. When I use the word command or control, I don't want to make it sound as if it's possessive from your perspective, just more or less having more, I guess, intel and impact and influence on the offense. Is that where you sort of see where you're at now in your career, where you can have those type of conversations with a Kevin Petullo and sort of put your imprint on the offense as well?
Well, I won't just say that. You know, I give it just a journey of its own. You know, I think when you have change of coordinators year in, year out, it's hard to build that within yourself regardless, you know, but him having his vision and what he wants to do as a player, I'm just in sponge mode. I'm trying to be the best that I can be and take in everything that he's put on the table and trust his direction of where we're going. And then once you find that flow, then, yeah, you have conversations and you tune it up and you get to where you want to be. But for me, I have that approach. I always have that approach. Experience is the biggest teacher. And when you've had experience with different people and all different, you know, memories and flows that you have with each coach from a quarterback's perspective. And so this year we'll find out how that flow, we'll find out how that flow is with Coach KP, and I have a lot of confidence in him.
When you think about the you know, quarterback is, I'm saying this, is the most important position in sports. And when you think about the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, who I know you've studied and you've looked at, aside from winning the games, the best ones win the games, what do you think the most important traits all of them share are? They all play the game a different way, but I'm sure there are some traits that they all have. What do you think are the most important ones for a quarterback?
A common thing that I see is efficiency and production and how they produce.
We saw some photos.
Okay.
We saw you're a Jordan Brand guy. We saw some photos with you and Michael Jordan this offseason. It must have been amazing to spend time with him. Is there any advice that he gave you or words of wisdom that you can share? Because having that opportunity to spend time with him, we don't get that. So what was that like, and did he give you any advice?
Well, we've had the opportunity to build a special relationship, and it's grown over time from distant respect and admirer to kind of growing close and being able to have really good conversations, you know, that stretch different parts of the shoes that we feel in our lives. And it's one that I value. I think, you know, pertaining to the game, it's the passion that you have. The passion that you have for what you do, and the work ethic and ownership that you take in what you do. Mm-hmm. And I obviously wasn't alive to see him play the game of basketball in his time, but knowing that he's been there and he's, you know, played ball at a championship level, you know, those conversations are timeless.
Yeah, I love your thirst for knowledge from the greats of the past, right? You know, you talk about your relationship with Michael. Listening to Peyton Manning talk about you and conversations you guys have had. I think I've read where you've been in conversation with Tom Brady in the offseason. That kind of piqued my interest. Those are two quarterbacks. You guys play totally different styles when you talk about the quarterback position. Yeah. And I'm wondering, what are some of the things that in those conversations you try to draw from them that you can sort of implement into your game, whether it's on the field or it's just in the classrooms?
Well, I think the most important thing about it is just being present and being hungry for knowledge, having a thirst for knowledge. You know, the game and the quarterback position specifically, it's a mental game. It's a mental game. And it's almost, you know, it's almost a sense of, I mean, it's not almost, you have to have a sense of mental, you know, development and maturity, emotional development and maturity to really play the position. And that's something that I've been able to endure and learn from over the past. And then obviously being able to refine your talent. Everybody has different techniques. Everybody expresses themselves differently on the field from an output standpoint, but being able to respond from adversity and get ahead of things and kind of have good discernment in certain moments and, you know, have a cerebral approach to everything, I think that's very important when playing a position, and just try and build on those things.
Jalen, one of the things that I think is most amazing about what you're able to do is tuning out the noise where you play. You know, I grew up here. Philadelphia is the noisiest place in the world to play football. What advice would you give someone who is having trouble with that? Like, what steps can you take to become someone who can do that?
Whether there's noise or not noise, it's a matter of staying within yourself and giving your best and chasing your passion and being the best as you can be. you know, it's in anything, you have to keep the main thing the main thing. And, you know, every day you go to work and you put the work in so you can be the best you can be for the group and the people around you. So that's the objective goal.
If I say someone is a great leader, what does that look like? Like, what does great leadership look like to you?
Oh, man. Everybody, there's different types of leadership. You know, I think, there are different types of leadership. Not one way, so I don't know that I have an answer for it.
Okay. We have one final question, and I really appreciate your time today. There was, I forget who, I think it was Elliot who asked you, there were all these pictures of the Super Bowl ring ceremony, and you had the ring in the box. We need to know that at least at home, at some point, you put the ring on. So did you put the ring on at any point?
I don't know why we're still talking about this.
We want to know that you enjoyed it, I think. Like, we go through that. You played, but as fans, we sort of live vicariously through you. Yeah. We just want to make sure that you enjoyed it. That's all.
I hear where you come from. Whether I put it on or not, that's not pertinent, but...
Okay.
I definitely enjoyed it.
Okay, all right, for sure. As long as you enjoyed it.
Hopefully we can enjoy more.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the time. Of course, everything you're doing for the Eagles Autism Foundation. People can bid now at EaglesRadiothon.com. It's up to $8,100. A very special experience for you, your kid, some of their friends with Jalen and his new book, Better Than a Touchdown. Thank you so much for your time. We're so proud of what happened last year, and we can't wait to see Thursday night.
Thank you, sir. You guys enjoy.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it.
Let's talk to an Eagles defensive star. With the Eagles Radiothon going on, look, it was one of the great rookie seasons we've really ever seen by an Eagles player. Obviously, his teammate Quinyon Mitchell, essentially did pretty much the same thing. I mean, just two unbelievable additions to the defensive backfield last year as rookies. And Cooper DeJean's going to be all over the field this year. He's also a big part of the Eagles Radiothon with an exciting Mike's podcast, Behind the Scenes Experience, with Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship, where the winning bidder and three guests will get to sit behind the scenes on an exciting Mike's podcast, an episode. You're going to get an autographed football, obviously get the opportunity to hang out with Cooper and Reed Blankenship, get a photograph with them as well. Star defensive back, touchdown maker in the Super Bowl, Cooper DeJean with us here on WIP. Good morning, Cooper.
Morning. Appreciate you having me.
It's our pleasure, man. So the exciting Mike's podcast that you guys have, obviously people, you know, they love you and Reed and they want to see it. So this item right now is the $2,800. Now, James, I'm just going to guess females may outbid the males on this one.
Yeah, I think this is a prime target for the ladies.
Females,
yes.
Might. Hey, Cooper, congrats on your season last year, my man. I know you're getting ready for Dallas. So tell us about the podcast and what this experience will involve for a listener and three people that are the winning bidders.
Yeah, obviously me and Reed started the podcast this spring. You know, but it'll just be a good time to come hang out and see how it all works for me and Reed, and get to experience, you know, what it's like, you know, filming the podcast and maybe even be a part of the show.
Oh, so how about that?
Be a good time.
That's good.
It should be a good time.
What's the funniest thing that's happened so far while you've been filming your podcast or taping your podcast? What is it? Is it recording the podcast?
Recording, yeah. we've had a lot of crazy conversations. Some that haven't made the cut for the show.
Uh-huh.
But obviously we had Gilly on, so that's always. That's always going to entail some wild conversations, which we had that didn't make the cut, but that was fun. We've had some good conversations with teammates, which have been fun also.
That's awesome, man. Cooper DeJean here on WIP. Cooper, obviously a lot on the Radiothon today, but a lot on the coming season and the game versus Dallas. So we talk about you all the time defensively, but special teams, you were a big factor last year. You were really good at it, returning those punts. Do you want to do it? I mean, we know you're good at it. We know there's an extra high, you know, danger level compared to other NFL plays. Do you want to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's danger levels in every play in football. You know, and if I've always said that as a defensive player, being a punt returner, you know, anytime I get the chance to touch the ball and try to make a play, you know, to put our offense in a good position to score, you know, that's always fun for me. So if I'm asked, you know, to do that, then I'd be more than willing to step back there. Obviously, I did it last year, so I have some experience. You know, but if I'm asked to do that again, I'd be more than happy to.
What's your best trait as a football player?
Best trait?
Yeah, toughness, discipline, understanding the route concepts. I mean, I don't want to give you too many answers here. I think you're the most versatile defensive player I've ever seen. But those are my answers. What is your best trait as you see it?
Yeah, I'd say my versatility. For sure, you know, being able to play multiple positions, including, you know, special teams, you know, and just feel for the game. You know, I feel like I have good feel, and, you know, as I've gotten, you know, more and more comfortable in this defense, you know, over the last year, I feel like that has increased, you know, as the season went on, last year.
As we talked to you during camp, you were telling us that you were focused on working on man coverage. That was an area that you were, you know, focused on improving. How do you improve as a man coverage guy? I'm looking at that as just sort of an impossible job. That's the layman watching from afar. It's like you expect me to run stride for stride with some of the fastest human beings on the planet and cover these guys in man. How do you get better at that, Cooper?
Yeah, it's tough, especially, you know, in the off season, if you don't have any, you know, live receivers to go up against, you know, to be able to see that live action, you know, but a lot of it's about footwork and hands, mm-hmm. and hand placement, and understanding pre-snap, the formation and what it's telling you. Is the biggest thing, you know. But during the off season, you know, you try to get as close to, you know, live reps as you can, you know, playing press man to man, you know, and obviously over OTAs you get those reps, and you continue to look at those and see where you can improve. And, you know, as you go along in camp, the more live reps you get, you know, the more comfortable you get in playing a man.
Hey, Cooper, you excited this thing goes from theoretical and all the conversation for 6 months about, you know, how to do this and that to actually doing it? I mean, in 7 days, you're going to be doing it out there in the field. First game, which is obviously an honor. You excited?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been waiting for a long time to hit somebody else again. So.
Hey, when you think of yourself as a defender, do you think of yourself with like the letters next to your name? Like, I would think John Ritchie FB, because that's always what it said, fullback. Do you have letters next to your name when you think of yourself, like CB or DB or S?
I'd say football player.
Take that. I agree.
Ben Davis perked up with that one. Ben, I like that one. You like that answer?
All-encompassing.
That one gave me chill bumps.
Like that answer a lot. Hey, Cooper, good luck versus Dallas and all season long, my man. We're looking forward to seeing it. Reminder to everyone listening, the experience related to Cooper DeJean, which is he and Reed Blankenship, to have you at the exciting Mike's podcast behind the scenes, you and three guests. The bid currently at $2,800. Please bid and bid as generously as you can to raise money, part of the Eagles Autism Foundation, the Eagles Radiothon at EaglesRadiothon.com. Cooper, good luck, bud. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, pal.
Appreciate it.
All right. There he is, Cooper DeJean.
joining us now. Oh, we just talked to him last. It's our good buddy, Cam Jurgens. Cam, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Cam?
So Cam Jurgens has two items on Eagles Radiothon. You can bid at EaglesRadiothon.com. So I want to ask you about both of them. So the first one is you and two guests get to go axe throwing.
Oh God!
With Cam, Landon Dickerson, and Jordan Mailata. Are you guys?
That's a trio right there, man.
Yeah, like
I mean, that's you said, yeah, Landon and
yeah,
that's right three.
Yes. We did that the last couple of years, and people come out, they have a great time.
hopefully we don't chop any heads off. But yeah, we get an ax truck coming over here. You get to go on NovaCare property and we get to throw some axes around.
I got to say, man, it's a little intimidating if I got to go axe throwing and the three guys that I got to go axe throwing with look like you three, you know? I mean, like, I hope that you're taking it easy on whoever you're throwing with.
No, you're just trying to break the board in front.
Okay.
I mean, we get competitive. But
who's the best out of the three of you guys?
Landon.
Okay.
Landon.
Really? Yeah, he looks like an axe thrower.
Yeah, well, he's probably been doing it since he was like five,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he was born in like some ice road truckers jungle somewhere out there. Axeman, who knows?
So the other item is you and five guests, not you, Cam, but whoever bids, you and five guests participate in a beef jerky tasting with Jergy with at the net. Now, that is your beef jerky brand.
Yeah.
What is, describe to me a beef jerky tasting with Cam Jurgens. How does that go?
Well, if you're a fan of the Eagles and you're a fan of beef jerky, I don't know where else you would want to put your money at for this Eagles Autism Foundation and Eagles Radiothon than coming here, NovaCare, and having a meal and eating some prime jerky with me. It's my own company. I started it up in college, actually, with NIL. And now, you know, we're produced out of Littlestown, PA, a couple hours from here. But pretty much everything's made and shipped out of here in Pennsylvania, and it is the best jerky I've ever had. We got five flavors. We might have more flavors by then. You know, you're gonna have to, you know, win it and see if you can come out here and see which flavor is your favorite.
Let me ask you, as a jerky connoisseur, in the process of making the jerky, what is the most important step in making a great jerky?
I think getting good quality beef. I think that's the number one thing. You know. Beyond that, you know, you're going to have to go through the right process to, you know, cure it, to dry it, season it. Mm. You don't want to season it too much. You don't want to have a bunch of fat. Yeah, we can talk a little bit more about that.
That sounds good.
So
he's not a jerky guy. I am.
Yeah, I'm a mushroom jerky.
But you're pushing for the mushroom jerky, which no one wants.
Well, look, I ordered some mushroom jerky today. I'm going to get it to you to see if you'd consider it in the future. You guys do play football next week. You know, training camp is not like it used to be. I know it's hard, but it is. It's not sort of, you don't play in the preseason games. You guys are starters. There's not as many practices. Do you feel ready to play regular season NFL football?
Yeah. I mean, shoot, it doesn't matter if you're ready or not. You're going to go out there.
Right. It's a good point.
That's damn sure.
Yeah. You feel like you guys have had enough reps as a unit, you know, to go again? Like, I guess I'm trying to feel like how whole you feel as a unit going into that game.
Yeah, you know, I do feel pretty whole, but it's always tough when you're going into that first game because, you know, you're watching tape from the preseason. And you don't know if they're, you know, showing their stuff that they're going to do during the year or, you know. Cowboys, they got some new coaches in there. You just don't know exactly what you're going to see. So that's always a tough part about starting the year off. So, you know, you can be in great shape, ready to go, and you just got to be ready to, you know, go through some of the punches. You know, we're going to see some stuff that we aren't prepared for, and, you know, they're going to see some stuff that they ain't prepared for. But that's just part of that first week.
Eagles center Cam Jurgens with us. What's the most important thing that will happen for you in terms of preparation between now and next Thursday?
Important thing,
yeah,
just getting my mind right, getting ready for the season. You know, we'll get a couple days off, and it's just all about getting your mind right, getting ready for this long season. And it's a little different this year, starting on a Thursday, so I'm excited for the season. You know, I'm also excited for tomorrow night, Nebraska. My Scurs, they're facing Cincinnati.
Bearcats,
tomorrow night, 9 Eastern. Go Scurs. We'll see how that goes. So I'm excited.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday.
follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I tell you what, you got a good coach out there, Matt Rhule, man. He coached out here, and we loved him when he was at Temple. Turned that program around before he left. So, yeah, Matt Rhule's a pretty good coach.
I go back there and train a lot in the offseason, and I feel like over half that staff is all from Philly. There's a lot of Philly guys down in Nebraska now, so it's cool to see. You know, we're talking all about the same food spots and what they like about the city. Everybody's got their own cheesesteak spot.
We're everywhere. Philly people are everywhere, Ken.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Now, you haven't gone through a Super Bowl banner raising before. This will be your first one, but Thursday, that is happening at the stadium. It's so big, and it's all about last year, which you guys have told us that you're not concentrating on. Do you worry that any of that stuff on Thursday, celebrating last year, can be a distraction?
No. Honestly, okay. I didn't even know we were doing that Thursday. So.
Okay. See, linemen don't care, man. They don't care about that stuff, man. You're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn. I don't really care about the Raptors anyway. So, yeah, I'm glad we did it, but we got to win the game. You know, it's the Cowboys, so it don't matter.
All right. Yep. Well, Cam, we appreciate your time again. Go get ready for the game. Remember, if you're listening, you can bid on axe throwing with Cam Landon and Jordan. You can bid on a beef jerky tasting with Jergy, Cam's own brand. You can do it at EaglesRadioathon.com. It all benefits the Eagles Autism Foundation. We appreciate your time, Cam. Thanks so much, Cam.
I appreciate you guys. Go Birds.
Go Birds. There he is. Nolan Smith. Nolan, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
Yes, of course.
What's up, Nolan?
So,
how y'all doing?
Right.
So, Nolan's item, you have a Sixer suite. You and 11 guests go to the game with Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. It is a 2025 regular season game. So, Nolan, I assume you're a big NBA guy?
Oh, yeah, kind of, man. I'm a big 76ers fan, man. Love every sports in Philly, man, and I'm just here. The man, play my part, get everybody to the game, and boost everybody up.
So, greatest player of all time, NBA. You pick one guy.
Man, I got to say, for me, it has to be AI. I'm representing his number, wearing his number. I know it's for my mom, but, you know, that number 3 is great in Philly.
Yep.
Wait a minute. All right. We want you to be a Philly guy, but we also want to know, you don't really think AI is the greatest player of all time, do you? Or are you just trying to be a Philly guy?
I'm a Philly guy for real.
Okay.
He's the best ball handler of all time, man.
Okay.
I'm talking about the crossover, the step over, the famous AI step over. You see guys do that at celebrations for years. In the NFL, so you come on now, you can't knock him.
No, I'm not knocking him.
So it's up though.
Yeah, I'm not knocking him. I just thought I was gonna get a Jordan but you know, in Philly, you say AI, it's good.
Can't go wrong with AI.
Cannot go wrong. So you can bid on that at EaglesRadioathon.com. EaglesRadioathon.com. So you guys kick off in 8 days against Dallas. Do you feel ready?
Yes, sir. More than ready, man. The guys are getting ready. We're just taking it day by day right now, and we're really just excited. We can't wait to kick off.
Listen, you had an awesome second half to the season, including the postseason. Man, I'm wondering from your mindset going into the offseason and now having sort of that responsibility as the guy there on the outside. I know Jalix was here last year with you, but we all are viewing you like you're the guy. Former first-round pick with your Georgia Bulldogs, and replacing guys like
Josh Sweat.
Josh Sweat.
Brandon Graham.
What's that been like for you, and how do you sort of embrace that role?
Man, I'm going to just be the same kid that I'll always be, man. I'm just the energy guy ready to keep going and just pick up where they left off, man. Sweat and BG left me with so much. It's hard for me not to be great, man. I'm just playing my role and just I'm a small piece in a big puzzle. And I'm just the energy guy, man. I try to boost guys up, get guys ready to go. And, you know, man, it's hard not to get excited to play a little football, too.
You guys were the best defense in the NFL last year. In the Super Bowl, you had what a performance. Do you think your defense this year can be as good as it was last year, and why?
Man, I just think we good because we play together. And long as we keep playing together and have that connection piece, like, like Coach Sirianni talks about all the time, together, 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 we'll be 100% fine. We don't have to be anything we were last year. We just got to be ourselves, and we ain't got to feel no shoes, just be ourselves.
I am interested. Like, you've been here, this is your third year, right? It's your third
year.
Yes, sir. And you've been, as a young player, one of the vocal guys, one of the vocal leaders on that side of the ball. It's a young defense. And you, like we talked about, you don't have BG there. You don't have Slay there. Guys like CJ, GJ, some of the veterans who had been there. You're sort of stepping into a little bit of that role as being one of the vocal leaders on that side. What makes you comfortable sort of embracing that role?
Oh, man, what makes me comfortable embracing that role is just being myself, you know, just being a kid and knowing my guys got my back and they see the body of work that I put in. And as long as I keep working hard every day, they'll understand, you know, that I can speak up and talk about things and just ask them to do a little bit more because I'm doing the same thing. I'm running to the ball and doing everything that the coaches ask too.
What's the best thing and the worst thing about playing for Coach Fangio?
Oh, man. I say the best thing about playing for him is that he gonna give you the hardest look. And then the best thing about playing for him is, man, he gonna give you the hardest look. It's nothing bad about playing for Coach Fangio, man. He's an amazing coach.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those guys that takes good care of us and makes us feel good going into the game.
You guys,
good answer.
Yeah, very good answer. I thought I had you. You started with best, and I was like, ooh, I can't wait to hear about worst. You guys have some new guys on defense, some young guys. Who of the new guys has impressed you?
Man, our cornerbacks have really impressed me, one of our new guys, and just our secondary, man. Them boys are on point. And, you know, I always talk about the marriage of the defense, and we're the marriage of the defense that always keeps going. And long as they cover in our rush, man, we'll be all right.
What is the next week like for you? What is the next week of preparation? Is it physical? Is it more physical? Is it more mental? How are you getting ready for the season?
Yeah, the physical part is already over, man. We've been through camp. It's more about the mental part and getting ready, being prepared, and, you know, us doing our part and me doing my part and, you know, like I say, just being the energy guy and keep everybody heads level and keep us going.
Would you say that's the biggest thing when trying to repeat as a champion? I know Coach talked about you guys aren't defending champs and you start fresh, and I totally understand that and I can appreciate that message. You're, along with a few of your defensive mates, you guys have experienced what it's like to win a championship at the collegiate level and have to go defend that thing. So I'm just wondering, what's that mindset like in the offseason coming back after you've won a championship, trying to do it again?
Man, the mindset is just tone out the noise and just work and go 1-0 every week. Like right now we're 0-0 and we can only worry about the first game. And, you know, we start this climb at the bottom of the mountain and we can only go up and keep climbing. But we start at the bottom of the mountain. And as long as we make that progress and get 1% better every day, we'll be A-okay.
Well, you guys made us real proud last year, and I know you're going to do it again. We thank you so much for your time. Good luck over the next week. Get ready. It's a marathon, not a sprint. But we're looking forward to watching you guys play on Thursday night. We thank you for your time today, Nolan.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
All right, Nolan.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. EaglesRadiothon.com is how you can get involved to support the Eagles Autism Foundation. You could buy an official t-shirt designed by Cooper DeGene and Reem Blankenship, $30. There, text 532092, text Midday, MIDDAY, to 532092 to make a donation. Or, Hugh, you could bid on one of many events and special things going on with Eagles players, with us. We'll tell you about the what you could bid on for us. But we have one in particular in front of me I'm reading right now, a round of golf with Jake Elliott. I could read it to you, or we could talk to the guy you're actually going to play golf with. Jake Elliott, Eagles kicker, joins us right now on the Midday Show to talk about his event for the Eagles Autism Foundation and Radiothon. Jake, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
No, not a problem, Jake. So, Jake, how is your golf game, man? How long have you been playing golf?
it's pretty good. A little non-existent at the moment, which is fine. But
I've been playing. I mean, I played a little bit as a kid, but mostly picked it up in college. And then once I got into the league and had some longer off seasons, I got really into it and addicted pretty quick. So got a lot better really fast, and absolutely love it.
So, Jake, tell us about this event in particular. So you're going to play at the Union League Liberty Hill with you, one guest, and you're also the winner will get an autographed football. Tell us about the Union League and the golf course there. I'm sure you've played that one before.
Yeah, it's one of my absolute favorites in the area. Right when I got to Philly, I actually joined out there. It was the old Ace Club. So I played a ton of rounds out there. One of my favorites. And they've done so much work to it since the Union League took over. And it's probably in the best shape of any course in the Philly area. So that's saying a lot with all these great ones, Marion, Aronimink, and all these others.
So, Jake, I know we talked to you, I think it was last year, for this the same thing with Eagles Radiothon, and I think it was golf you were playing as well. Now, when you play these, when you have, these events with listeners who bid to play with you, do you play with someone who's really good? Like, have you played against someone else who can really play, or do you take it easy on them? Like, take us through what it's like when you play with someone who wins this, because we know you can play, so do you take it easy, or have you been surprised with, like, some of these people that win, like, they could play too?
Yeah, it's been a mixed bag. It's always I've always had a great time in these events. Whether it's just a more fun round or sometimes it gets a little competitive, I'm definitely not going out there and taking it easy. But I'm out there to have a good time and usually have some good matches going on out there.
So when you go out to play golf, who are some of your teammates that can give you a run for your money? Who are the golfers that can really who are some of your teammates that can really play?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys I go out there and play with. I would say I have some really good matches with Braden. Braden's really good. He's gotten a ton better in the last couple of years. So me and him go back and forth a little bit. I think I got his number by a couple, but we'll see how this next offseason goes.
Jake Elliott, Eagles kicker, with us here as we discuss his event for Eagles Radiothon. EaglesRadiothon.com is how you can go on and bid. The current bid is $2,000 to play golf.
Yeah, we could do better than
that.
Yeah,
we could raise that up.
So Jake, the question I have for you is this, because I think I'm going to get into golf, man. I have some golf clubs that I bought, 20 years ago, but they keep telling me, hey, wait, hold up, dog, don't laugh. I'm being serious. And they told me that they probably are like dinosaurs now. You know, they're fossils.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
If I was going to get some new clubs, what do you suggest I get first? Because you got to keep in mind, I'm not a golfer.
Yeah.
So if I started to get into golf, what are some of the easiest clubs I can start out with?
And get some with some fat backs on them.
Fat
nice
backs.
And forgiving.
Jake, I don't play golf. What are fat backs?
They don't look like blades. They're big forged irons.
Uh-huh.
So you got a lot of support behind that club face. So if you don't hit it in the center, you get a little extra forgiveness.
Okay, fat backs.
Yeah,
Kyle, you know that because Kyle was laughing. I gotta write that term down. Fat backs.
Well, I mean, Jake
sounds like he's taking a shot.
Just to take it behind the curtain a little bit.
I thought of you immediately.
Yeah, one time we went to a golf outing. I think it was the Jaws' golf place. And he wore a sweatsuit, so he's trying to become a golf guy. But we got to get the attire.
I got to get my attire.
Yeah,
right.
The attire.
We got to get the etiquette.
No, because I've been invited lately because some of my teammates like Brian Westbrook and Brian Dawg, they've been inviting me to these golf outings, man. And the first thing that they do is cringe when they see my outfit. So I got to get my outfits right. And I got to get some.
You got to look the part. Look the part first.
And I got to get some fat back golf clubs.
You writing that down?
I wrote that down. And when I go to the store, I'm going to ask for some fat back golf clubs. And Jacob, they don't know what I'm talking about. Me and you going to have a conversation, bro.
No doubt. Come on back to me.
There we go. Jake, we appreciate hopping on. Congratulations again for winning another championship last year. And we're excited to keep telling everyone about this event to go play golf with you.
How much is it up to now?
$2,000 the current
bid. Oh, come on, people. We got to do better than that. Jake, and Jake, will you wear the rings if you golf with the folks? I know this is probably going to throw your golf game off a little bit. But you got to throw
that down as my ball marker.
Yeah, you got to sweeten up the pot a little bit. Come on, Pete. We got to do better than $2,000. We got to do better.
Yeah, we'll get there. Jake, we appreciate you hopping on with us. Good luck this season, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Jake.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he goes. Eagles kicker, Jake Elliott.
Zach Bond's going to join us in a moment, as, of course, he's getting ready for the start of another season. Eagles, believe it or not, John, playing 7 days. I mean, I know we got a million things happening here. We're all in a bad Phillies mood because, the Phillies-Mets series and the me and Jack thing's taking up some some inventory of conversation, but you know, Zach Bond, man, who would have thought, John, when they signed him, which I guess was about, let me figure this out here, about 17 months ago, that in the first 12 months he would establish as one of the best defensive players in football.
No one knew the guy.
Yeah, well, first off, an inside linebacker, one of the best defensive players in football, a Super Bowl champion, and someone who was rewarded with a $50 million contract.
He had not
That's
established.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he hadn't established that greatness. And last year at this time, he was a guy who, he'd been an edge guy,
yeah,
but played a lot of special teams. You know, a great
awesome.
Team guy
yeah.
with incredible physical tools and skills, but just had never had a coach who believed in him and gave him a chance to really put it all together in one spot. Took full advantage.
Let's talk to him right now. Getting ready for those Dallas Cowboys and lending us a few minutes during the Eagles Autism Radiothon, you know, Foundation Radiothon. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, our pleasure, Zach. So I'm going to take a guess here. I don't know it off the top of my head. With you not being that well-known and not established at this time last year as a star, I'm going to guess that there was not an auction item last year that was the Zach Bond experiential. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And I was surprised that I didn't even know this was a thing. And now I'm excited that I'm so happy to be a part of it.
That's awesome, man. Well, Zach, we really enjoyed meeting you, you know, when we were with you about a month ago in training camp and that interview we did. And so, you know, look, we're big admirers of you, your game, and getting to know you as a person. Let's talk, and hats off to you for being involved in this radiothon. Because the Eagles do obviously lean on many of the better players for these experientials. So, Zach, let's talk about the item related to you, and it's the opportunity for a listener and a guest. So it'll ultimately be two people, but one person a bid on the chance to be courtside with you at a 76ers game. Date to be determined, but obviously for the upcoming season, Sixers versus who knows who, and you and two others will be there. Two people. Yep, two people. So three total tickets, two that are bought, you know, two that are purchased in the donation, and you. And you're going to be hanging with hardcore Eagles and Sixers fans, man. That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I'm a big basketball fan myself, too. And for it to be for such a good cause, sitting courtside at a game, what an opportunity.
Can you hoop yourself?
I used to hoop. I can't say I do anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm really bad myself. Last year at this time, Eagles fans weren't, you know, as familiar with you as Joe was saying. What have you learned about Philadelphia in the last year, Zach?
Yeah, I absolutely love this city. I come from a small town just outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's very tough, very gritty.
Awesome.
So coming to Philly, it's got a very similar attitude that I can really relate with. And then the people are just so passionate, no matter what they do, whether it's work or cheering on the birds, they always bring that fire with them. I love it.
How do you feel right now with the back contusion and everything? And how do you feel in terms of being behind? You missed some time in camp. How is that all coming together?
Oh, I feel tremendous. I've been back practicing the past couple weeks, and just good to be back with the team. I mean, I'm with the team, but back out there practicing. I've been staying locked in meetings, so I don't feel as if I lost any sort of step or I'm behind.
What are you working on to improve in your game? I mean, an All-Pro last season, but coach talks about 1% improvement every day. What are you devoting that 1% to?
That's just the thing. When you get the accolades, you really have to just treat them like a pat on the back and understand that there's more work to be done. Obviously, last year, being my first real year playing inside linebacker, there was times where I was out there just freestyling it and going off a whim. But now I can really – I've been dialing into my details in the playbook, working on my footwork, understanding route concept. There's so much to get better at, and like you said, that's 1% every day.
Zach Bond with us here on WIP. Chris, Eagles Radiothon. The item related to Zach and the 76ers game currently at $3,800. If you can, please consider bidding on that and all the other tremendous items at EaglesRadiothon.com. Zach, you're going to be playing a lot with Jahad Campbell, the Rook. He He's looked like he's flashed in the preseason in the limited time we saw him flash in some notable ways. What do you see in his game? What does he bring to the table?
Yeah, he's tremendous to watch and an even better person off the field. So I'm really excited to play with him. He's super athletic, super intelligent. But of course, everyone's got pieces of their game to work on. And now that we're in season and working on game planning, it's unlike something he'd ever seen in college before. So just refining that process and just being there and helping him out every step of the way.
How has your job, Zach, changed from last year to this year? Just in terms of, man, you're standing next to a guy in Jahad Campbell who probably, you know, can use your guidance at times. But is your job description growing as your knowledge of the defense grows as well?
I'd say so, as I feel more comfortable in the defense this year. I can really use myself as a resource for other people. And I'm not one to hold tricks of the trade back. I'm not one to hide anything from anyone and keep it to myself. I want all of my knowledge that's in my brain out there, and especially in our linebacker room.
Hey, Zach, before you got here, there was turnover from the 22 to 23 team defensively. And we saw a big drop-off. Eagles lost some talented players from the Super Bowl team of 22. And, of course, had to integrate new guys, and it just didn't work out. How hard is it? Because you guys are faced with a similar challenge, different players and integration. How hard is it to integrate, you know, five or six new starters defensively when you guys haven't really played before together?
Honestly, it's a big credit to the staff here, and one, bringing the guys in, and two, establishing a culture that when new guys and new players come in, they see the way we work, they see the culture here. We have fun, but when it's time to play football or to study football, we're locked in, so they hop on board pretty quick.
You know, Zach, final thing here I'll say, I know you guys right before kickoff are going to be really laser focused. I mean, you have to be, because you're about to play a game. When that banner is released and there it is for the world to see, I'm sure there's only so much you can put into it. But I want you to know, as someone who's only been here about a year, it means so much to us as a fan base. And I want to thank you and your teammates. I mean, the ride you guys gave us last year was beyond unbelievable.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So obviously, congrats on that. Enjoy it as best you can, knowing that you're about to go, you know, try to clobber someone, you know, a minute later. But know, man, that it meant the world to us to see you guys accomplish what you did last year.
Absolutely, and thank you for those words. Obviously, we do it for the city, and just to see the joy it put on the city, we definitely want to recreate that. But as far as Thursday night, the banner drop is really for the fans. We've really turned the page and are focused on beating the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It really does.
It's just unbelievable. You don't even seem real, Zach. I just want to say that. I want to put that out there. You seem impossible to me, but it's so amazing for all of us. And
wait,
thank you.
Wait. You have to elaborate on that a little bit. What is seeming impossible?
You showed up here last year. We didn't know you. You became an all-pro. Now we value your position as much as a position we never cared about in this town before. You've changed the way we all view linebacker, and yet you're the most humble person I think I've ever interacted with in my entire existence. So thank you.
Thank you. It's honestly just hard work and dedication to the game, you know.
Well, I think it must be a lot more than that, because I was trying that too. It didn't work for me.
Yeah, Zach, let me throw one more in here. Now that we're kind of in the zone we're in, when you were, I'll use this term, I don't mean it offensively, just when you were a fringe NFL player, sometimes you'd start, sometimes you'd back up, a lot of special teams. Did you think you would get to this point?
I never thought I was a fringe player. I thought I was a really good special teams player that could play in this league for a long time. Of course, I had dreams and aspirations of playing a linebacker position, whether that was inside or outside, but I never counted myself out of playing the position.
Wow. Awesome. Good for you,
great
man.
Answer. That's great, man.
So the item related to Zach, which is to be at the 76ers game with Zach, courtside seats, $3,800. Please get bidding right now until 5 o'clock today at EaglesRadioThon.com. Zach, good luck versus the Dallas Cowboys in a week and all season, my man. We look forward to watching you and your teammates play again. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
You got it. There he is.
Eagles, freaking love that guy,
Eagles
dude.
Eagles star.
I love that guy. He's Zach awesome, Ball. Man.
His answer was amazing.
Amazing.
Eagles safety, Sidney Brown. Thank you for your time today, Sidney.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course.
What's up, Sidney?
All right. So we got to get into your item first, if that's okay.
Yeah.
The item is take a Peloton class as Jen Sherman's guest in New York with Sidney Brown. You go to New York, take a Peloton class led by Jen Sherman, who is a big Eagles fan and a Peloton instructor, and you and Sidney are going to do it. So you are, I assume, a big Peloton guy?
I'm a big Peloton guy. I bike all the time, you know, and when you're supporting the cause as is, I mean, it's always great to get out there, and I'm excited to do it. It's going to be great with Jen and, you know, the lucky bidder who gets it.
So I've never done Peloton. I took a spin class once, and the instructor was like yelling at me the whole time and calling me out. Is that is that how a Peloton class is?
I think it's high energy. It's high energy. It's a little different because you're looking at the screen. But I mean, to be in person and to have that opportunity with her and me and, you know, just I think it's going to be a good energy all around.
Yeah, listen, my wife does Peloton, man, and, you know, she's down in the basement on that thing. I hear that thing going, and I hear Jen on the TV. It's a whole class going. Hold on, so, Sidney, are you telling me, you got the monitor up in front of you, and you're doing the instructions that the whole class is doing? Is that what's going on?
Oh, man, I guess, I mean, dude, I don't know.
Yeah. Hold on. You got your Peloton shoes, you got the bike shoes and everything, don't you?
Man, I got I'm locked in. I rode bike all the time. So,
okay.
You know, I'm probably gonna get whooped in this thing. I know I am, but I mean it's gonna be great for a great cause, so why not?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can bid at EaglesRadiothon.com. The bidding right now at $3,200. You have until 5 o'clock to bid. So Sidney, there was a with CJGJ getting traded in the offseason, there was a lot of opportunity for you in this training camp to sort of lock in your position there. How do you think it went?
I just attack every day the same. You know, I'm hungry for an opportunity to play, obviously. And I just leave it up to the coaches. It's all in their control. You know, leading up to Dallas, so all I can do is control the reps that I get, control my mindset going in each and every day. And you know, my mindset since I got here, you know, as a rookie, is kind of building. I wasn't able to really get the training camp and everything I wanted last year just because of the knee and the injury. But, you know, to have the off season, to have, you know, the opportunity to be with the coaches and with our amazing staff and be around the amazing our players, you know, I just feel like I'm building each and every day. And, you know, I feel like and that's all you can do, especially in the position that I am now. So I just attack you, say the same, and you know, we'll see what happens September 4th.
Now, usually when you go into an offseason, right, you know, coaches have things. You meet with the coach at the end of the year, and they tell you some things, what they thought about your season, some areas they feel they need you to improve in, and where they can sort of envision you playing. What are some of the things that you feel like you've gotten better at or you're still working on to become the player you want to become as a safety?
Yeah, I think just as myself being my biggest critic, I don't think, you know, I will ever kind of reach where I want to be with just that's just my mindset. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think really anything's good enough, so I'm always just striving for more. You know, going into the off season, you know, they express nothing but confidence in me, and I think they've done a great job, you know, developing me along the way. I think one thing that I really wanted to prove on and was in coverage and you know, play tight coverage on each and every down. And I think that's something that I've improved on and I continue to improve on. And, I think the one thing too is just getting reps in the system. I think that's something that, especially in a system as complex as Vic's, you gotta get those reps and to really understand it and to feel it and to, you know where your help is and understand the whole scheme. I think just the reps that I've been able to get has really helped my development this offseason.
Man, watching you as a player, I watched you in college. I've always been a fan of you and your style of play. You play with sort of this, and I don't mean this as a criticism. You play with sort of a reckless abandon, like where you don't have regard for your body or what have you, and you don't play cautious. And I think that's a good thing, but that also could be something that could hurt you in certain areas. Do you feel like that's an area that you're working on, trying to balance when to go all out versus, you know, I guess just making the sure play there or what have you? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, do you feel like you're working on that?
I know exactly what you're trying to say. And I think the one thing that I've really tried to develop is just like playing with the meekness. You know, playing under control, knowing when to take the shot.
Yeah.
You know, and understanding that, you know what I mean? Because not everything needs to be that big time play. But that doesn't mean I can't play aggressive, but it just means, you know what I mean? Playing, taking the shots, I can take the shots, you know what I mean? And, I mean, there's 11 guys on the field all playing fast. So I gotta do my job to the best of my ability. And when my time comes and I gotta take the shots when I can. And, I think I've done a great job just playing with meekness, and I just try and develop things every day on that, man. And I think I've done a good job with that, and I just got to continue to grow up that. And you know, as we get in game and we get more reps and everything like that, I think it's just going to keep getting better and better.
Eagles safety Sidney Brown with us right now. You know, Vic Fangio arrived last year and took you guys to the best defense in the league. Like, Vic Fangio is a legendary defensive coordinator. What is it that makes him good? Like, what is he good at, and what is it like playing for him?
I think the one thing that I think people get mixed up with him is, I mean, he is a master at his scheme. He is, like, I mean, just the way that he approaches learning the scheme and the way that he calls the game. He's just a mastermind with it. And I think he does a great job of, you know, putting players in position to make plays and, you know, knowing how to play, you know, the calls that he's giving on first through third down. You know, I think everything has, he's not just calling plays to call plays, you know, everything has a meaning behind it. You know, he's trying to get guys in the right position to make a play. And, you know, just kind of create opportunities for players to go out there and ball. I mean, obviously it comes with the complexities of it, but I mean, I've loved playing for him, man. He's great energy. He's great energy. I think that's what sometimes people miss is, you know, he brings great energy to our room. You know, he's a great leader. He's the same guy every single day. And, you know, I've loved every moment that I've had with Vic, you know, starring, but I mean, he's going to get the job done. And I love that about him.
He is like stunningly honest during press conferences. So he's very honest when a player is not playing well or is not doing, you know, what he expects as a player. I could imagine not liking that. How is that as a player to know that he may do something like that?
I mean, it's play good football. You know what I mean? I think that's what it comes down to. But I mean,
for sure.
I mean, why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want that as a player? Why wouldn't you want that as a person? I think everybody, you're not gonna love everything you hear. You know what I mean? That comes from media, that comes from the coaches. But I mean, it's on you to get better. And I think that's kind of where it comes from. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. You feel like you and Reed make a good tandem back there at that safety spot?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Reed's a great leader. You know, the way that he's developed in the last 3 years and just my time here and seeing him do his thing and, you know, the leader that he is now, it's been amazing, man. I'm lucky to work with him. I'm lucky to work with him.
All right.
I think we're going to do some good things.
So let's imagine it's a dream kickoff and you are, you know, you're on coverage and you can fly down the field and level any NFL kick returner of all time. Just obliterate him. Who would you love to hit?
Love to hit?
Yeah, just any kick returner, any like legend of all time.
I'm saying punt returner too.
Do a punt returner too.
Yeah, he's punt a gunner. Yeah, he's a gunner. Punt returner.
Man, I think any special teams, guys who's played special, Gunner, any guy that's played that missile position. I mean, we want an opportunity at, like, Devin Hester or somebody like that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Devin Hester.
You know what I mean? Just get the, you know what I mean? Say they've done it.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? We're going back in time, but.
Now, that's the GOAT right there. Now, he's the greatest of all time there. Yeah.
No doubt. Well, but other than that, you know what I mean? I thought it was cool to, you know, go against my brother. And, I mean, honestly, I think the guys that we have, you know, in our room are some of the best as well. So.
When you're going full speed at a returner, what are you looking at to see where he might move, right? Is it his eyes? Is it his body? Like, because you're coming like full speed a lot of times, and he has the opportunity to make you miss. So what on the returner are you looking at?
Yeah, I think the one thing when it comes to Gunner, and, you know, what I've learned watching tape, you know, because, I mean, that's been my role, lives my role last year. I think it's just like you understand guys who are going to get vertical, and you understand guys that are going to, you know, step lateral and then try, you know what I mean, try and work the field.
Yep.
So you can learn how to take your shots on that. And I always try and stay near hip and attack the near hip and take my shot there. Cause, you know, I mean, you and 10 other guys are coming downfield. So, you know, I think the best thing is making the tackle, but the next best thing is, you know, making him stop his feet and then, you know, allowing the next gunner to may have an opportunity at the tackle, and then the core obviously coming in to make a play.
Yeah.
So just aiming at that near hip and
That belt line. That belt line.
Exactly.
Yeah, look at that belt line. That belt line gonna tell you where he's going. He can't go anywhere without that.
Exactly. And you can knock him off center easy. Him off center easy, just touch him, hitting that hip.
Oh, man, crash. Yeah. I love it.
Just so you know, Ike won't say this. I
love it.
You're like Ike's favorite player.
Yeah, yeah, he knows. Every time I see him, I tell him that. Yeah. Yeah. You know it. He knows it. Kelly.
Ike, I love you, man. I love you, man.
Room for you, brother, man. Yes, man. Hey, listen, have a great season out there. Seriously, have a great season.
I appreciate it, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks, Sydney.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.